Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity of National Review is here, but he's up in New York getting ready to do some television with CNN International, so he joins us by phone. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have bad and crazy martinis for conservatives today. We also want to let you know here at the top that we're sponsored today by Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way without the expensive long-term contracts using Simply Safe Home Security. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. And Jim, let's kick it off here with the first bad martini, and it looks like things are not going so well in the early going for National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. And if they're going as poorly as some people think, it appears to be his own fault. One of the things that keeps happening here is that a lot of people are saying that Flynn did not discuss Obama administration sanctions against Russia as a result of Russia meddling in the 2016 campaign. Ryan Priebus has said that publicly, that they never discussed it. Sean Spicer has said it. And most significantly, Vice President, at the time, Vice President-elect Mike Pence, saying January 15th on Face the Nation that Flynn assured him the issue did not come up then. Now what we're hearing is that Flynn can't be totally sure what happened, so it's possible that the issue did come up and that Flynn potentially has misled someone as high as the Vice President of the United States. Jim, you can get away with a lot of things in a position like National Security Advisor, being obstinate, tough to work with, controversial. Not being trustworthy is often a deal killer.
Yeah, and most importantly, the other members of your team, so to speak, the other members of the administration have to feel like they can trust you, have to feel like if you tell them it is X, then the answer cannot be it is not X. Then you certainly don't feel comfortable going out there and saying this. And obviously Spicer and Priebus are among those who've had gone out and said, oh, no, there was no conversation of sanctions with the Russians before the inauguration. But the most significant one is Vice President Mike Pence. And apparently the word is that Mike Pence is rightfully quite irked about this, that he was sent out with false information and basically went out and lied said something that wasn't true. And he said this apparently based on discussions with Mike Flynn. If Mike Flynn lied to Mike Pence, that makes his job just about impossible. If he lies, the next question is, because everybody in the Trump administration right now has to be thinking, okay, when else have I relied on Mike Flynn for something? When else have I gone out and said something that he had told me? If he is not a trustworthy arbiter of information, he really does nobody in that administration any good. Now, the million-dollar question is, does President Trump trust him? President Trump, you know, in almost any other administration, if a national security advisor lied to other members of the administration and sent them out to say something that wasn't true, he'd be a goner. It could be, you know, game, set, match, everything would be settled. Obviously, this is the Trump administration and operates by slightly different rules. But I would just say that if the vice president no longer trusts a national security advisor, you're well beyond the run-of-the-mill bumps in the road of a new administration. And, you know, it could scream a certain lack of professionalism to on Flynn's part, that, you know, whatever the bad situation is of having that conversation with the Russians, it's much worse to lie to your colleagues, coworkers, and the people who count on you in order to try to extricate yourself from the trouble you're in.
Trump has had very little to say about Flynn in the past few days, as he's been spending time with the Prime Minister of Japan and so forth. But it's clear from when you watch Trump and Pence interact that Pence has Trump's full confidence at this point. And so without seeing Trump and Flynn together, it's hard to know what their relationship is exactly like. But if it's a Pence-Flynn battle here, I like Pence's odds.
He needed to replace a national security advisor than a vice president.
Well, yeah, you can't fire a vice president. But I think what I'm saying is if Flynn falls completely out of favor with Mike Pence, that's going to be pretty much all Donald Trump will need, I think. But we'll see. On to the second bad martini now, and that occurred on Saturday night. North Korea making good on a New Year's Day threat to test an intercontinental ballistic missile. Jim, I don't know if you've seen reports about whether this test was actually successful or not, but what we've seen so far is that there's widespread condemnation, even the Russians and the Chinese condemning it. As I mentioned a moment ago, Trump was with the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe down at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach when this news reached them while they were having dinner. They had a very brief joint statement with Shinzo Abe saying that North Korea has clearly violated a UN Security Council resolution and this will not be tolerated. And Trump's statement was very brief, and I think it surprised a lot of people with its constraint here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Prime Minister. I just want everybody to understand and fully know that the United States of America stands behind Japan, its great ally, 100%. Thank you.
So not a lot being said there by Trump, which surprised a lot of people on both sides, given his response to the Iranian missile test. So, Jim, I'm not sure if the North Koreans saw the response to the Iranians and said, hey, we're bad actors, too. So they wanted some similar response to lift them onto the national stage for a few days. Trump did not give them that gift that they might have been hoping for. Ultimately, this seems like a rerun from North Korea, but what do you make of it?
First of all, it's very hard to believe the timing of this launch was coincidental. I think it very clearly was Pyongyang trying to send a signal both to Trump and to Japanese Prime Minister. Hey, we're still here. Hey, we're threatening. And hey, we can kind of give you a bad headline or act very provocative when you guys are having your all smiles summit down in Florida. Also, Greg, we should not underestimate this. And you said, I don't know if the launch was successful. Look, as far as I understand, the missile did hit its intended target of the Pacific Ocean. not the hardest target to reach, but nonetheless, look, it almost feels like these things have become regular, almost metronomic, this idea that every couple of months, North Korea fires some missile. Sometimes they fire solid fuel rockets. Sometimes they fire liquid fuel rockets. Sometimes the launches are very successful. Sometimes it looks like things didn't go the way they were supposed to. I almost wonder if, because almost all the great foreign policy minds have looked at the problem with North Korea and concluded there aren't any good options. There aren't any easy options. Obviously, you don't want a war with a potential nuclear power. We don't really know whether North Korea's nukes work or not, but we certainly don't want to figure that out during wartime. There's no way that any conflict on the Korean Peninsula wouldn't turn into an absolute bloodbath with many civilian casualties. And there's really not any sign that the regime in Pyongyang is shaky or likely to be overturned by the people or something like that. So there's some argument that the status quo is about as good as it gets, which is a fairly depressing thought, but may be accurate. And by this standard, when North Korea decides to launch a missile or when they decide to do something provocative, by the way, keep in mind, the North Korean version of saber rattling is to take up a saber and stab you, because one of their previous efforts has actually sank a South Korean naval ship. Sometimes they start shelling into South Korean territory. This is way beyond what even most rogue regimes in the world do. So you add all that up, there's some argument that says every time North Korea does something like this, they want attention and they think this will get them concessions, going back to the deal the Clinton administration had with them in the 1990s. You look at this, I wonder almost if Trump has been told North Korea is doing this for attention. And so his way of dealing with it is to give them as minimal attention as possible, which is kind of what he did with that very terse one-sentence statement of support for our allies. I don't know if this is necessarily going to work with North Korea. I don't know if this is necessarily going to be seen as more antagonistic or will spur them to take ever greater provocation. But that certainly does seem to be the mentality going on by Kim Jong-un and his ruling class over there. And I don't know, it's kind of a question of, we've learned to live with these, you know, missile tests and random rockets flying over Japanese territory and things like that. You kind of wonder if at some point does this start, you know, is the instinct in North Korea to escalate? And if so, this would be a good moment to quote Fred Thompson from the Hunt for Red October. This business will get out of control and we'll be lucky to live through it.
Oh, that's encouraging. Thanks, Jim.
There you go. Happy Monday, everybody.
Pretty prescient first overseas trip then by Secretary of Defense Mattis. He visited South Korea and I think Japan, but he's certainly in South Korea looking to get a good handle on exactly what the threat was from North Korea. Not sure if he issued his telltale threat to the North Koreans about tears in his eyes, Jim, but it's unknown whether his language works with crazy.
We don't know if anything works with crazy. I guess it's, by some interpretations, you might say that's what the entire 2016 election was. I think you guys got crazy? All right, now here's our crazy guy. Let's see how you interact dealing with him.
I'll see you're crazy and raise you on even more crazy. All right, let's One way to keep an eye on the North Koreans could potentially be to just install a bunch of SimpliSafe cameras around all their suspected launch sites, but getting in there could be trouble, so maybe we just need to do it from space. I don't know exactly how that works, but let's talk a little bit about SimpliSafe. In early January, just a little over a month ago, the Consumer Electronics Show wrapped up in Las Vegas. It's the incredible trade show where all the big tech companies unveil their newest innovations. It's really like seeing the future in front of your eyes. And our sponsor for the 3-Martini Lunch, SimpliSafe Home Security, was there. And they had one of the most talked about products at the show, which is pretty impressive considering all the different gadgets that are there. The new product is the new SimpliSafe security camera. It connects to the sensors in your alarm system. So if an intruder tries to break in, the camera will automatically start recording. Then not only will your SimpliSafe call the police, but you'll have actual evidence. So when the police arrive, you can say, here's the guy. It really is incredible. You can check in at home anytime, no matter where you are. Just live stream HD footage directly to your smartphone. Plus, with SimpliSafe, there are never, ever any expensive long-term contracts. You gotta love that. If you want to see for yourself what SimpliSafe's brilliant technology can do for your home, visit SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. You'll even get their special 10% discount. That's only at SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. All right, Jim, we're just talking about ratcheting up the crazy at the end of our second bad martini, but let's get to our real crazy for the day. The social justice warriors, as we've talked about a number of times since Inauguration Day, are pretty much working around the clock. You think Trump doesn't get a lot of sleep? These people seem to be being able to flip out and be on scene just about everywhere where there's a perceived outrage, which pretty much is every word that comes out of the White House these days. We saw it a bit on Friday when the new education secretary, Betsy DeVos, tried to do the horrific thing of visiting a D.C. public school to visit with people there, and she was blocked and led away, getting completely unhinged on the left. But the latest development, in addition to protests on campus and everything else, Sarah Silverman, the crazy left-wing comedienne, I believe she made some headlines a couple of weeks ago, Jim, by saying that the left just needed to get the military on their side, and then they could have a coup against Donald Trump. So clearly she's operating with a full deck right now. This is her tweet yesterday. Walking to get coffee, saw these all over a sidewalk in the town I'm in. Is this an attempt at swastikas? Do neo-Nazis not have Google? And basically, it's an S with a line through the middle. So she thinks it's a really sloppy swastika. And as you point out in the Morning Jolt today, Jim, as many Twitter users pointed out, it's not a botched swastika. It's a pretty standard utility line marker. Now that you had it pointed out to you, you may start noticing them on the sidewalk in your community, too. So, Jim, there is an outrage around every corner. And if there's not actually an outrage around the corner, let's just have one anyway.
Yeah. And so on the one hand, this is very funny. And we can laugh at Sarah Silverman in a very different way than we usually do. She later said that she feels like she's seeing swastikas everywhere now because of all the anti-Semitic hate mail and all the stuff she gets on social media. And if that's the case, I really feel bad for her. Having said that, the mentality, when you're living around, you see you it's bright orange paint. And you seriously think, oh, my goodness, neo-Nazis have come around and in bright orange paint done all kinds of poorly done swastikas. And they've done it up and down the street. My goodness, they're all around. It's all over by that construction project, too. And at some point, you'd have to sit here and think, like, wait a minute. Okay, I guess what I found in that comment, the fact that for, you know, whatever amount of time, she was willing to believe these were actually swastikas that had been spray painted on the ground. Yes, we do get, you know, swastika graffiti every now and then. That's a terrible thing, and hopefully people take it down very quickly. But it's almost a lack of faith in your fellow citizens if you believe that there is this far-reaching, vast group of neo-Nazis or white supremacists all around you, and they're marking their territory, and they're putting out these signs or something. I don't want to call her paranoid. It seems a little mean, but nonetheless, it does seem like a certain willingness to see the very worst all around you and interpret things that are utterly harmless as further evidence of this far-reaching effort that is out to get you and out to do terrible things. And I've read about other folks on the left who I, you know, generally have cordial relationships with, and they describe themselves as bursting into tears several times a day over the election. It's February, Greg. The election is in November. And I feel bad for these people. I don't want politics. One of the reasons I'm a small government guy is that I don't want the decisions that the government makes to affect every little detail and aspect of your life. Part of the element of conservatism is you're free to live your life and totally ignore politics if you want to. That's one of the reasons we're on this side. Maybe that's an appeal of small government these folks should kind of think through there. But clearly they have taken it as a deeply personal wound, and they feel an enormous sense of fear that I think is pretty unjustified. I don't think we're about to round everybody up into camps. I don't believe that, you know, we're on the verge of a fascist takeover or something like that. They are scared of their own shadows. The problem is that in some cases, this is tragic for them, but I also think it's bad for our body politic to have people out there and saying, oh, Trump is the first step on a fascist takeover. We're becoming authoritarianism. We're no longer democracy. We're no longer a free country, et cetera, et cetera. Because I think some people believe this. And I think that they begin to start thinking about, you know, people who support Trump or who voted for Trump as not just wrong, not just mistaken, not just somebody that they have strong political disagreements with, but as someone who is evil. And there are a lot of things we will do to people who are evil that we wouldn't do to people who are merely politically, you know, mere political disagreements over. So on the one hand, it's a very funny story. On the other hand, it's kind of a ominous sign of the mindset of some folks on the left. And I'm not kidding when I say this. I really hope they get a reconnection with reality in the not too distant future. So I think it would be good for the country as a whole.
And the Nazi comparisons to Trump are nothing new. There were some on the right who would look at Obama administration policies and try to make parallels. And of course, the Democrats don't want to talk about this now, but during the Bush administration, George W. Bush, they called him Hitler on placards during major protests over the Iraq War multiple times.
I remember the Bush Hitler well, and I think it was Dennis Miller who said, it's fascinating that to the left, the only person in the world who you cannot compare to Hitler is Saddam Hussein, the crazy genocidal dictator with the funny mustache.
Jim, have fun in New York. See you tomorrow.
Happy Monday, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to visit our friends at Simply Safe Home Security. Check out that new Simply Safe security camera. Check out the 10% discount as well. SimplySafe.com/ricochet. And join us on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.